Praise God. Okay, hallelujah. Well, let's just open up our hearts to receive from God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to hear what you have for us. And you've already poured into us richly today. And you dwell in us richly. And so you are there and here, and you are everywhere, and you are for us. And so, Lord, we just pray that there would be no walls high enough to keep us from breaking them down today and allowing you to transform us into the renewing of our minds, to make this move deeper into you. That's what we need every single day. And so, Lord, today, reveal to us keys to that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Yes, a few weeks ago, I had mentioned that about the shift. I had mentioned about the accepting the shift. Remember, we talked about where God was speaking and talking about how Israel had been so bad and all the things that were going to happen, and then God promising, but now I'm going to put you where you belong, and then saying, I know the plans that I have for you. See, even when things were bad for them, even when they had strayed so far from God, God never changed the plans that he had for them that were for good and not for evil, for a future and for a hope. We have to make sure that we don't allow circumstances to stand up and make themselves God. Remember, we talked about it and not making a God of it. I had a man on Thursday that came up to me and he said, would you pray for me? I believe that your prayers have power and I'm really in a battle. So I prayed for him. And he immediately began to talk about the battle again. And I said, no. Well, it's really a battle. I said, you're making a God of the battle. That's all you're thinking about is the battle. And I said, so we've prayed and now it's over. Yeah, well, and he kept talking about it. It was the thing. It was God in his life. It was higher than any mountain. It was deeper than any ocean. It was stronger than any God. It was everything. It was just, and I just finally said, look, if you want me to pray for you, then accept what I pray. Let it go. Let it go. Leave it behind. And let's move on then and press toward the mark for the price of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he wouldn't accept the shift. He wouldn't, even though he would say, yeah, but. You see, yeah means that he gets it, but you don't understand the problem. I don't need to understand the problem. I just need to care about the problem enough to help you cast it down into the sea of forgetfulness. Just let it go. That's the whole thing. Christians get tricked all the time and they make it their God. So somebody gets a hangnail and pretty soon they've turned it into an infection that's going to cost them their arm. Because they're just sure. They read about somebody else that had this happen, and so they're sure that this is going on. And we have to leave that be. We have to accept the shift. Yesterday I was raking up at Mom's and I was thinking about some things and I was thinking that my family's tradition, and I've said this before, the tradition of men in my family has been not to live very long. And because of high blood pressure and because of whatever, you know, and so my dad died of a stroke. And he died at the same age that his dad died, 69, and a brother died younger, and another brother died younger, and so that was that. And I just made a decision that that wasn't going to be my tradition. It was going to be something new. And then right after I just had finally decided to make that shift, I had a chest pain, and immediately the enemy reminded me that my uncle had died on the operating table. His chest had exploded, and they said they were amazed that he'd lived that long, and that he must have had just terrible pain. His heart was just hard, and they talked about that. And so the minute that I had a little chest pain, you know, the enemy came along and said, "You got the same thing your uncle does." Not anymore. And so that was really good. Then one day, the boys and I, the reason that I was thinking about that is the boys, I sent them a picture and I said, "Boys, I'm ready to load the wagon. I need somebody to pack the leaves." They used to always jump in and pack the leaves and stuff. But I thought about the boys because one day we went to Walmart and I'm relatively certain that if I die before Jesus comes, that if they try to take my heart as a donor, they'll say we can't because he had a heart attack. Because I had all those things that everybody talks about, the sensations in that. And I can remember leaning on the cart saying, "God, you make sure I ain't going to die here in front of my boys in Walmart. I'm going to live long and prosper." And that's all there is to it. In the name of Jesus, by your stripes I am healed. And then I laughed at the devil. And then later I sat down. The boys and I stopped at a place to have a hamburger. I said, "Boys, I want to tell you how good God is." I said, "About 20 minutes ago, God healed me. And he kept you from having to watch your dad die on the floor in Walmart." But you see, if I believed in the natural, I would have been saying, "Get an ambulance. I'm going to die." And that would have stopped the healing. But instead, I said, "I ain't going to die." I didn't let it become my God. Now, I didn't know about it until later, 20 years later, as I learned it in the Word. But I practiced what I didn't know, but what God knew, who dwells inside of me richly. As He is, so are we. In the world, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but where else is He dwelling right now? Put your hand on your heart and say, "He's living right here inside of me. He dwells in me richly. He dwells in me richly." How can He do that? I have no idea. That He dwells in all of us richly. By the Holy Spirit, He dwells in us richly. He sent the Holy Spirit. And He dwells in us richly, and He lives forever to lead us into all truth. And so we have to continue to make the shift. You know, listen, if we believe we are saved, we've already accomplished the most amazing miracle ever. That we believe that we went from being lost to being saved in an instant. Now, if we believe that, then everything else is just kind of gravy. All of these other things are now available to be added to us because we have made that shift in our understanding and in our thinking. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, well, I'm just going to start at the beginning because it says, we got to get to the right chapter. I know what it says, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Because he says, you've got to hold on to these things. You've got to hold on to these things. Hebrews chapter 2 says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." We must listen very carefully to the truth that we've heard. Where is the truth that we've heard? Where are we going to hear it from? From the Spirit that dwells in us richly. And so we must listen very carefully to it. It's running in our minds and running in our hearts. It's reminding us of what God says. And the Holy Spirit, he will begin at the very bottom of the foundation, if that's what it takes to remind us, well, you're saved. And then we have to listen to that and agree, that's right, I'm saved. And then the Holy Spirit will continue to build on that until He has built us up all the way to the place, whatever the circumstance is. But we got to keep listening. Because if we quit listening, then we're not going to hear it. If we don't hear it, then we're not going to have it. This morning, I sat down to pray, and when I started to pray, I was good. Not my praying, it was just good. It was just such a oneness with God. It began when I was in bed, and after a little bit of praying in my chair, I got to thinking, you know, I think I was doing better in bed. I seemed to be focused better in bed. Because we've all done this. We start to pray, and then all of a sudden, we're like halfway around the world, not praying, but thinking. You know, how in the world did I get here, Lord? And as soon as I say, how in the world did I get here, Lord, I'm somewhere else, and I'm still trying to get back to where I need to be. And it just is like, Lord, help. And so then I just started to sing to Him. I started to sing praise to Him. I started to sing the Psalms to Him. Then I stay on track. But not too long after that, you know, I'm again thinking about something else. And I try to say, okay, maybe I'm supposed to pray about this, but sometimes it's just too outlandish to even bother to pray about. It's just not, you know, it's like, oh God, help me. You know, we need your help. But He says, we've got to listen carefully to what we've heard, or we might drift away from it. The incident with the young man was he would listen to me, but then he would just boom. He didn't drift a little ways. He drifted clear over into another room in the prison, into a whole other realm. He drifted and wanted to tell me about it. I don't want to be rude, but I don't want to hear about it. Okay, I want to hear you say, "Praise the Lord, it is finished." Don't tell me that you think my prayer's got power, and then tell me about the power of whatever's coming against you. You don't think my prayer has power at all. You just wanted an opportunity to start talking to me and telling me your problem. Didn't work. I found somebody else. I wanted to know something else. But I told him 3 or 4 times. I said, "Now, let your mind be renewed. Leave that thing behind. Let it go. Don't make a god of it. Make the shift. Accept the shift. Fight for the shift." Okay, in Hebrews he goes on and he just says, okay, look. "For the message God delivered through the angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we will escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Himself and then delivered to us by those who heard Him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders, various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit wherever He chose." Okay, so what makes us think that we can just ignore the announcement of our salvation? Our salvation wasn't just a little announcement, okay, this will take care of you till heaven. This announcement was, whoa, you get the whole basket. You get the whole good plans. You get everything. You know, shift through the basket. Have you got one of those little containers with all different types and sizes of screws that you've saved from some time or another? And you know what size screw you need, and you're pretty sure that it's in that container? And so you're sifting through, trying to find that right screw. And you're pretty sure there's 2 in there because you really need 2. And you're sifting through and you find one and that's real good. And you set down that one and now you're sifting some more. And pretty soon you say, wait a minute, I know it's in there. And you dump the whole thing to try to find that other one. And you spread them all out and you find that other one. And if you're like me, you go, now where did I set that first one? Of late, I've taken to just putting them in my mouth. That way I have it. And I'll just be honest with you and say that there have been times where it was in my mouth and I was looking for it. And they say, oh, I got it here. Okay? You know, that's because our minds go
It's amazing how far and how fast our minds can go. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We just are. And if we'll just even take time to think about that, and then be grateful that He took all of that He made us in, and He saved us, and we are now His. We are, and it's so good to be His. And furthermore, it's not angels who will control the future we are talking about. For in one place the Scriptures say, what are people that you should even think of Him, or son of man that you should care for Him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor, and you gave them authority over all things. And he says, now when it says all things, it means nothing's left out, but we haven't seen all things put under His authority. We don't see it yet, but it's all been done. And so we've got to see it. So you've got to look for it to see it. And if we'll put that effort in to look for those two little screws, why won't we put the effort into it to look for what He has for us? It's all here. It's mine. I have it. Just a minute. I know I have it. I just got to find it. I've got one. Just wait. I'll find it. A lot of things that I say, I've got one, just wait, I'll find it. I have two of them because I didn't find it until I went and got another one. Now I got both of them, and I put them both in just the right spot and hope that I'll find them when I want them. John's amazing. He knows where his stuff is in his shop. It is. It is. I just always love it. He just goes in, he finds a drawer, and there it is. Once in a while, he'll pull two drawers, but usually he finds it in the drawer he goes to. It's like a gift from God, man. And that's what it is. All good and perfect things come from God. But we've got to make the shift. We've got to make the leap. There's a breach, you know. There's like a sinkhole. And we just have to, by faith, jump the sinkhole. Oh, we've got a wall that we built up. We've got a wall of unbelief that we built up. We've got a wall of doubt that we've built up. We've got a wall of the past that we've built up because it didn't work before. It's probably not going to work now. My riding lawnmower that's up at Mom's, I drove it in, I parked it, everything was just perfect. Next time I came, the thing wouldn't start. I got my charger and I charged the battery. I thought, well, maybe the battery went down. Still wouldn't start. Finally, I took it to somebody that could figure out how to make it start. John was busy building a house. I couldn't take it to him, or he'd have figured it out. But the thing has just, it's got a little spring that's supposed to hold the gear shift up, and when the gear shift is up, then it'll start. So now all I have to do is go and pull the handle up, and it starts. And you'll be happy to know that I always remember that that's all I have to do to start it, is pull the handle up. I don't recharge the battery, but I did whatever I could do. I dug and dug and dug until I found the way to make it work. And that stuff is nothing compared to making the things of God work, making the shift. And we can make the shift as quickly as we want to. The Bible says, cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So we realize what exalts itself against the goodness of God. We realize it's not God. We would feel better if it wasn't, you know, if it was God. We would feel good. We would feel the relief. So what do? We shift. We make the shift. Right now, we may not see it, but as soon as we look, we find it. And once we found it, hold it. Once you have found Him, never let Him go. Once you have found Him, never let Him go. It's that great, great reward for effort. There's a lot of things in this world you can do, put a lot of effort into and get nothing out of. But you'll never put any effort into God and not get something back. But it requires making the shift, and we won't make the shift till we accept the shift. That it's real. You see, sometimes I was thinking about this. You know, there are, honestly, there's, we know it. We know that there are people who are convinced that some of the shift doesn't exist, and because they don't believe that the shift exists, then they preach to other people that it doesn't exist. Or the simplicity that is in Christ isn't enough, and so somebody has to complicate it. And by complicating, they rob somebody else of the truth. When somebody comes and they tell me, oh, it's really a battle, and I say, let's pray the battle's over, and they say, no, you don't understand. They keep going, and they keep building the battle up into something that it doesn't need to be. They just refuse to accept the shift. Well, here's the deal. I'm not going to join them in their non-acceptance. I'm not going to join and say, oh, man, you know, that is, I don't think God's ever thought of that one before. You poor thing. You know, I take my prayer back, man. I mean, obviously, my prayer wasn't powerful enough to change your mind. No prayer can change anybody's mind. Only they can change their mind. See, if he'd have come up to me and been honest and said, I'd like you to pray for me and change my mind, I'd have said, I can't do that. I can't change your mind. But I can give you a key to unlock the door to changing your mind. Will you make the shift? Isn't that what Jesus said when he went to somebody and said, what do you want? Or he went to somebody else and said, would you like to be healed? He was asking if they'd make the shift. He asked the guy laying by the pool, do you want to be healed? He said, well, I can't be. Because I can't get in the water. Somebody always beats me into the water. I wonder how many people sat by that pool after the first person got in and didn't jump in because they thought only the first person got healed. Maybe the whole pool could have been full of healed people. But it says that they said the first one that got in got healed. Did anybody else ever bother to get in? I want it all. You could say that if you'd like. I want it all. I mean, I do. We don't see everything put under their authority. We may not see it, but it says it. And so if it says it, we got to look, right? You know, those you got those one kind of pictures where it's a bunch of nothing, and then you look and you see if you can see it. And some people can see it. I usually can just find that part of the thing, but then you get those other deals that says there are 9 of these on this picture, find it. How many can you find? And then there's that one that came out and it said, if you can find your name, you're smarter than a certain number of people. And I started looking at that and I was looking for Roger, and finally I just saw in big letters, your name. Got it! And your name's on there about 8 times, but when you're looking for your name, you don't see your name. And your name's not on it, but your name is. So your name's written down in glory, and you can find it. It's mine. I made the shift that it was possible. Against all odds, I made the shift into salvation. And even when people, well-meaning people, came to me and said, well, it's not that easy, I liked the other way better. I liked the easy. Because I knew that there was no way that I could work my way out of the hole I dug. It just wasn't. But if I just believed what God said, if I just believed because for one second I felt the power of God, knew it had to be the power of God. Knew it had to be that. It couldn't be anything else. And I wanted more of that. See, that's what I want, more of that. I want more of that and more of that and more of that. You know, the Bible says if you have been blessed, if you have felt, if you have touched, if you have received anything from God, woohoo, rejoice in it. You guys are really coming loose today, I'm telling you. But you see, I mean, if any of these things are true, then praise the Lord. You see, that's what the Bible tells us. And so when we think about it, sometimes we need to remind ourselves, you know, God really blessed me in that circumstance. He most certainly will bless me in this circumstance as well. And if it didn't work out the way we wanted, we can look back and say, you know something? If I'd have seen then what I see now, that probably would have been different. But I can't fix that. I've gone there on Josiah. You know? And God just says, don't go there. I'd like to think that all these years later, I'd have done better. But it didn't have anything to do with me. If I start thinking it did have something to do with me, well then, man alive, I would either feel tremendously defeated or greatly successful at how far I've come since then. But it's all in Him that we live and move and have our being, you see. And so the enemy continues to throw up walls in front of us. And what are we going to do with the walls that he throws up? Knock them down. What are we going to do when there's a gap here and over there is what we want? It's too wide. Listen, I would rather die jumping it than stand on this side of it wishing for it. And when I have that confidence, when I lift off from this side, I float to the other side. Because I have placed my hope in God and He's never going to let me down. But a lot of people just won't leap. A lot of people just stand on this side and say, I don't know why it doesn't work for me. Jump! Yeah. If you got ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You know, sometimes it's like when I talked about the twins from hell, anger and controversy. I don't ever want them in my home, and they're always trying to sneak in, aren't they? And they're way more successful than they should be. But they're going to have no place there. They're going to have no place there. They're just going to get moved out and never get back. They're not going to get an inch. They're not going to gain any ground because we're going to shut the door on the devil. We may not see it yet, but we're going to. Because we have this promise from God. We've got all these promises from God. We bear these treasures in earthen vessels. He dwells in us richly. If He lives in me, what He says happens. But we got to make the shift. You see, some people want to take a verse that says, well, but we don't see all things put under His authority, and they want to say, yeah, that won't happen until Jesus comes back to earth. Well, then why would He say all things are put under our authority if it's not going to happen until then? But some people were so determined not to make the shift and so determined not to jump the breach that they developed a doctrine that said, it just won't happen until then. So all of this is just sort of written like pie in the sky. If that's pie in the sky, then all of it's pie in the sky. And if all of it's pie in the sky, then the best thing that we can do is hope that somehow or another it'll work out and we'll find out when we get there. That's a terrible way to live. Terrible way to live. That's not living. Jesus said, I came so you could have life and have it abundantly. So why do we allow the enemy to cause us to back away from the truth? Why not just say, it's all mine? A little dance music there. Thank you, Barb. Hallelujah. Boy, oh boy, I wouldn't take a chance on missing this. Yeah, I mean, but we know about all of it. We know. We wouldn't buy a car with three wheels. I'd never buy a motorcycle with just one wheel. Unless they advertised it for practically nothing without one wheel, and I'd know that I could get another wheel for it. But if I go and buy a motorcycle, I expect it to start and run. I want it all working. We don't go to the grocery store and buy bread and see that it's only got half the loaf and say, well, half the loaf's better than nothing. Guess Bob needed a sandwich, so he used this loaf. May as well go find the open bologna package too, because it's got some missing. I kind of want the ones that somebody's already eaten out of. Do you have any jerky that somebody gnawed a piece off? I want to buy that. Right? We're wiser than that in the natural, aren't we? So then what we need to do is rise up in the supernatural. We need to make the shift. We need to recognize when we're stuck in a gear and fix the clutch. We need to recognize. You know, I drive the car that I have now has a manual electric shift thing, or it's got an automatic shift thing, and sometimes I pull it past drive and I'm down into the manual shift thing, but sometimes I don't notice it because I'm thinking or something, but I'll look and I'll see that my tack is way beyond what it ought to be, you know, and it's like, oh, must not have put it in automatic, you know, so it's still sitting in first waiting, shift, dummy, shift. I don't want to shift. I can't run it through the gears. I don't want to shift. But it's there, and when I do recognize it, I don't just let my foot off the gas and say, well, I guess I'll drive home at 30. That way my tack will be in the right place. Oh, I got an idea. I'll put it in D for drive. Look at that. It shifts all by itself now. We need to be in Christianity, in our walk with God, we need to make the shift where it becomes automatic, where we automatically listen to the truth, when we automatically begin to see. I don't see it the way it's supposed to be now, but I'm going to look until I do see it. I'm not just going to decide, well, if I don't see it, it must not be. I'm telling you, there's a lot that we haven't seen. There's a lot. I had a phone call from my son Rogers, and he said, oh, Daddy, I'm back in Kenya. I don't know where all he'd been, but anyway, he had people healed of AIDS, had all kinds of different things that took place, many people saved, got back home, you know? And so that was a good thing. And telling me about how he said, oh, Daddy, I love him so much. I just love Jesus so much. I just love him so much. I said, amen. I love him so much too. Because he's seeing things put under the authority that he never imagined, but it was always there. The power of God unto salvation is always there. That's why he said, work it out. Work it out. It's there. Look for it. Expect it. Declare it. Stand on the winning side of the gap, not on the losing side, just thinking about how bad it is on this spot. Don't lay beside the pool and say, well, I can't get it because there's nobody to put me in. Have you ever in your experiences at a swimming pool, been at a swimming pool when somebody decided they were going to put somebody in? There's quite a battle trying to get people put in. Kicking and screaming. And if you put them in, they're usually going to just jump right back out. In the same sense, nobody can put you in. You got to get in. And when you get in, don't let anyone convince you to get out or cause you to back off or wonderfully encourage you not to get carried away with God stuff. A lot better to get carried away with God stuff than to get carried away with all the other stuff. Because if we're not enamored with God, we will become enamored with the world. And then we will continually be in that place where we're struggling through the world. And we've got like a lineup miles long of places where we stopped, and right over there, it was waiting for us. We got to make that shift. And remember, nobody can shift it for you. No one can shift it for you. I've prayed for so-and-so to get saved, and they haven't gotten saved because they didn't make the shift. That doesn't mean you don't pray for them. It's just recognize they got to make the shift. And maybe you need to put legs on your prayers. Who knows what you need to do? But when it comes to you and it comes to me, we've got to make the shift. We've got to make the determination. And here's the deal. We can make the shift. We can put it in drive and leave it there. In other words, we can determine this day who we will serve. We can determine this day that we are winners. This day that we are more than conquerors. This day we can see ourselves as God has made us. And then go into battle as winners. I was just thinking this, you know, the people who settled this country, what were they thinking? They get on a boat headed for someplace. They land, they have nothing but trouble, and they have a Thanksgiving feast. They start to head across the country. Can you imagine traveling across this country in a covered wagon? And yet they did it. We become uncomfortable if the air conditioner doesn't blow quite as cold as we would like it to. I'll never forget when I was helping somebody farm, and they said, sometime this afternoon, the air conditioner guys are supposed to be coming out. When they show up, stop the tractor. I thought, you stop a tractor for the air conditioner? Yeah, absolutely. Stop the tractor. I was just in there having a sauna. It was great. But when they showed up, get that thing fixed so that everything operates the way it should. Folks, we need to fix it. When it's not operating as it should, we need to fix it. Only we can fix it. Oh, yes, we should pray for one another because the Bible says pray for one another, but then we've got to receive it once we've prayed. When my friend told me years ago that it was Jesus that put that goofy grin on his face, you should try him sometime, I said, yeah, I might. I wasn't serious. But I'm so glad I did. But I didn't make any shift that day. There'll be things that it may take you a couple days to shift. But if we pay attention, the Lord will continue to encourage us and to reveal to us so that we can see it as it is. And once we see it, you know, we might hear it from somebody on the news. We might hear it in a dog bark on the street. I love those doves. In the mornings I can hear them. They say, our God is great. Our God is great. Our God is great. That's the only thing I hear anymore when I hear that sound, you know, that they make, that da-da-da, you know. I hear, our God is great. Our God is great. Our God is great. I just join them in. I say, amen. Our God is great. Because that's what I hear now. I didn't always hear that, but that's what I hear now. I think they really talk. That's the only thing I can understand that they say, but that's about all they say. I think they're smart. I want to be as smart as they are. Our God is great. You see, we begin to see, we keep wiping the glass, and now we see through it as though it's a cloudy glass. But more and more, the more you wipe it, the better you can see it. When my windshield fogs up, I turn on the defrost. I don't know about you, but I don't like driving down the road unable to see. And if it doesn't defrost quite quick enough, I've been known to actually pull over and wait. Not often, because I expect it to work quickly. And if it doesn't work at all, then I want to get it fixed. I want to be fixed, Lord. If I need fixing, fix me. I want to be quicker at making the shift. I don't have time to wallow around in the fact that I didn't shift as quickly as I should. Just because then what am I doing? I'm thinking about it. And it just gets bigger and it gets uglier, and then I become more convinced that it's not the problem that's the problem, it's me that's the problem, and I guess I'm just not fixable. I mean, after all these years, you'd think I'd have it. Oh no, still learning, still growing, still going. And he just keeps getting better all the time. Just keeps getting better all the time. Better than I ever imagined. He was better than I ever imagined 30 years ago, and now he's better than I ever imagined, and I'm convinced that I haven't even seen the beginning of it. There's more. And when we make the shift into that kind of thinking, we begin to think, this God's a good thing. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we're going to make the shift, and we get the shift often. We get the opportunity to shift, but Lord, today we have made a determination that when we need to shift, we're going to shift. Help us, Lord. The man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help us, Lord. When we're just stuck in that gear and our hand is there ready to shift, we just can't quite make the shift because we got these fears. Sometimes we fear, Lord, that, well, maybe, what if it doesn't work, then what? Aha! This is the confidence we have, that when we pray, we know you hear us. And if we know you hear us, then we know we have what we want. Man, we slam that into the next gear, put the pedal to the metal, and off we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we got enough gears we can keep shifting until you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.